FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Shortly we'll be bringing you reaction to FC United's final league game of the season as the Reds hosted Hyde United on Saturday at Broadhurst Park. But before that, and with the end of the season awards taking place on Saturday evening, it's now time to hand over to the FC Live team to find out the winner of this year's FCUM Radio Player of the Season.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And you join us on a very blustery day in North Manchester as FC United are taking on Hyde United in the last league game of the season.
Ooh.
Oh, don't do that. And Woodzo's here, everyone, for this little pre-match chat. Hello, Woodzo, how are you?
Hello, you all right?
Yeah, it's not really worked out the way I was planning.
I was planning
a little pre-match chat with the commentary team to discuss what's going on. However, James is the host of the awards due tonight, so he's busy. And Paul's tapping in all the teams for the stat-up. So at the minute, it's just me and you to discuss the player of the season. We are doing this not
in
live.
In a wind tunnel.
And we don't want to ruin the surprise.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
Whatever we say, don't ruin it.
Oh, right,
okay. But Dan Lavercombe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, thanks for joining us.
Anyway, see you later.
No, we to be fair, we have normally every year we have this big deliberation. You know, and Swampy gets involved and you get involved. And, you know, sometimes it goes back and forth. James, a couple of years ago, I remember having an... Oh, it was a strop, really, wasn't it? Because we didn't give it to Tunde, and he was fuming about it. Oh, hello.
Hello.
I think I'll intervene here. I gave a strong case for Tunde and respected the decision.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gossip and drama that you get. It's the second-hand gossip that misrepresents the way we are. The producer's quite guilty of that sometimes. It's to get listenership.
It's just the TalkSport way. I was just saying.
It passed an afternoon on a Saturday in lockdown.
Did. Now, this year, though, it lasted about 30 seconds. I put the message up, everyone came back with a response, and everyone agreed. And it was like the quickest deliberation we've ever had. What does that tell us about this season, that we're giving it to the goalie?
Well, I think it's very tough on Regan Linney. I mean, and I did go for Lavercombe, and I'm repeating myself here, but Linney, the brilliant, it's not just his goals, it's his assists and his work rate, and he'll just die for the cause and he'll never take a backward step. I think it's a measure of how brilliant Dan Lavercombe's goalkeeping has been, the amount of points he's saved us with, some world class saves at times, how brilliant he's been, because Linney's never been so near winning an award in his life, I would say.
There was a discussion though where Linney's come to the party a bit late. His second half of the season, he's been,
I'd say second, two-thirds.
He's been tremendous. He's been tremendous, yeah, hasn't he? Yeah, but Lavercombe's just been consistent.
He's been consistent. And I'd say Aaron Morris has been consistent most of the season as well.
That was the other player. Aaron Morris. I mean, he's been unlucky the last couple of years not winning it, hasn't he?
I think Morris is very good. We come back to the question that it's for a goalkeeper, does an obvious thing make obvious saves? Forwards, and sometimes defenders do a lot of, you know, unsung work, really, and it's harder for defenders to actually pick up awards sometimes.
I agree with that.
Those were the three that really were part of our discussion, as brief as it was. Players I'd just like to bring up who obviously aren't going to be in contention for our Player of the Year, but I think have had very good years, and it's worth mentioning. It's Michael Donoghue. When we were talking about Player of the Season, he's had another good year where he's had
a fine season.
Charlie Ennis. For a long time during the season, with Potts out of the equation, he's had to be captain. I know he's vice-captain at the club, But you can see his next career progression, what we've seen. He's going to make a good coach.
He is probably the player in the group who's got the most leadership qualities. You constantly see him, you know, trying to drive the team along. And one of the things that Neil has observed is he doesn't have the loudest team on the field, and that's something slightly lacking sometimes. And Ennis is probably the player that supplies that more than anyone else.
We'll
more than
that, yeah.
The other player I'd like to mention is kind of like he's been a bit of a statesman, and also the fact he's been thrown into the games playing at right back, right wing, forward, Ali Wadeka. And I think he said in the programme notes he's retiring at the end of the season. I think it's been great that we've had a player of that calibre play at FC United in his final year.
I agree with that. I think he had a slow start, and I think he didn't match up to the expectations that we'd had. You know, this is the fella who was voted the 8th or 12th in the all-time MPL team of all time, not team of a year, team of all time.
Robbie Dale's still playing, isn't he? So there's only two players in that list who are still playing.
So he had a slow start, and people, you know, were sort of saying, well, who is this fella? But those of us who'd seen him play knew what a player he could do. He's not banged the goals, you know, but when he started, he got a bit more fitter and things happened. Yeah, exactly what you said.
Jonathan Smith as well as a consistent performer.
I was just about to say,
he's another player like Wadeka. It's been a pleasure to see him here. Obviously, we don't know what the squad's going to be looking like for next season, but I'd suggest if he wants to play,
I'd like him to be around. I think he's definitely a player that you don't notice until he's not playing, and then you go, oh, something missed at that midfield. I think I can probably count on one mistake he made, which was the Whitby goal when he passed it back to Hall, who then made a mistake and they got the winner. I think that's the only mistake he's probably made in a red shirt, in my opinion. And he's been asked to fill it. He's filled it at centre half and right back.
Now, one of the reasons why I think it was pretty obvious the player of the year and why the field was quite narrow is because this is the first full season since COVID. Injuries has been really affecting us this year. So really, the added liberation, you know, Dodd, Jones, Potts, these are players who ordinarily you'd say, oh, you'd discuss them, but they haven't featured for sections of the season.
And I think all three of those, you could say, have not had their best season.
For that reason.
And you're absolutely right, for that reason. But, you know, hopefully they'll be back next year. And
just to mention, for the goal of the season competition, because we were part of the panel that decided that, we then cross-referenced it with Neil to make sure he was happy. We narrowed the field, and everyone's seen the selection. At time of recording, we don't know who's won that vote, because it's not till 6 o'clock tonight that the voting lines close. But generally, happy with the selection. I mean, it goes to show you what quality goals we've scored this season.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to agree on the winner, are we? Our views on the winner, but
our top three were very close, Steve. Actually.
They were actually. I think yours were the same. Actually,
the same. Though I had the one and two were different. Were different.
The other way
third,
around,
third
think,
was
were,
that, they, the, yeah, the third were. Was the same. Yeah.
Which were?
Oh, is this going out? Is this?
It's not live. So
is this going out after the awards?
Yeah, for the podcast.
Well, my third was Dodd against Radcliffe with the
snap.
The second was the Regan Linney run from the halfway line against Lancaster, and then the Gainsborough away, where he just hit it first time top corner to give us a sniff back in that game as well.
I went with Linney, the dribble goal against
Lancaster.
I thought it was great individual score. It was also the only goal of the game when FC had been a bit pedestrian. But very close. I think there were other goals, to be honest, I thought could have.
You can make a case for all the ones that were on that shortlist. They've all got merits, whether, you know, the Donoghue tap in.
Now, listen,
here we go.
Right.
I do have seen him up there.
There was only two and a half, because Swampy kind of agreed with me. Two people agreed with that goal on the back post, me and the gaffer, right? And that's because it's just quality fullback work. It really is so clever. It's another level, that.
I agree. However, I do think he scored a better goal in that game. So
it was a deflection that came to him and he volleyed it. Yeah, we all know. Paul, you're joining us. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Your choices for goal of the season?
Goal of the season. I think mine was, going from memory here, Brad Holmes was third.
Yeah.
I think Dodd's goal against Radcliffe was second. And I would have gone for the Donoghue goal.
Not the back post one, the
not
chip.
The back post one, the other
Ashton
one.
Yeah.
I like that one as
because
well.
Because of the
like
audacity of the finish.
Swampy's not joining us today, obviously, but I think he taught me round to this. The Buxton goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely not with one, yeah.
Everything about that goal is superb. The fact we're wearing that 1968 kit, it's foggy, so it looks like a moody European away, and we've scored a brilliant away goal. Jones's pass, Ennis's pass.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
so absolutely. Simple.
Agreed.
It's beautiful. As is the Scarborough counter-attack. And that came to me late.
Yeah, you're right.
Because no, I was thinking, oh, I'm missing something here. I'm missing something obvious. And the Scarborough counter-attack goal is just...
The reason why I wouldn't have gone for the Don... I love a little chip like that, little chip goals like that. I do like them. But like, if we're being honest, the only reason he got in that position was he fouled the defender in the first place. He was right in front of me. So I disqualify him on that basis.
Just before we go over to the commentary team for FC Live, we're kind of all in agreement, aren't we, about Lavercombe?
Play of the season.
Yeah.
Lavercombe throughout the season has excelled. And we can't say that about a lot of the players for the whole season. That's the difference.
There really has been support.
It's the consistency more than anything else.
We mentioned the Buxton game there. I'm pretty sure there was a really important save Lavercombe made in that game, which set us up.
He was going behind him and he palmed it away. Yeah.
I think Morris was another contender.
Yeah. Oh, well, Neil's there, so we'll have our interview now with Neil. How excited should we be about having a pre-season, not with COVID in the background, an actual fresh run
it's the first one we've had for 3 years, isn't it, since the Lewis Brighton pre-season, as I call it, so it can only benefit everybody.
Well, we're joined by Neil Reynolds now pre-match. Hello Neil, how are you?
Hey Ben, not so bad.
So this game today, is it a let your hair down exercise? What's the mood heading into this? How important is it?
Mood's great. It's really important to finish as high as we can. You know, we want to cement that 8th spot. You know, people talked about a top 10 finish for the season. I think we've achieved that and more. It's been an indifferent season since the Steve talk then. You know, it's kind of, we came back in, people don't know that. We came back in. We were waiting for the last season to start again. We were keeping fit in March. Then we didn't know if this season we were going to start early, so we came in April. Then it was May and June, and we were kind of like in each other's pockets. And I think people just fatigued. Small squad took its toll, especially in October, November, when we lost key people to injuries. And then, you know, we finished strong. Some really good performances over the season. A few that stand out for me, you know, Buxton away, Matlock at home until the last minute, Shields at home last week. So we've shown we can compete with the big boys. What my job now is to do over summer is to add depth to this squad. Hopefully in conversation with the board, generate a little bit more money so we can have a bigger squad than 16-17 and, you know, have a real goal next season.
We're going to have a chat in the close season as well, just a recap of the season and stuff, and your favourite moments and that kind of thing. But in the programme notes today, I'm right in saying this, it's Ali Wadika's announced he's retiring. I was kind of hoping, because he came back from injury, didn't he? And it's like we just discussed there about not really having a proper pre-season. I was hoping we could get him for one more year, because he's shown glimpses, hasn't he?
Do you know, it's a sad day for me today, personally, because Ali Wanika was 20-year-old and he's scoring goals at a team called Lossock St Gerrards. And I just made my first team coach appearance for Bamber Bridge, and I went down and I went to Tony Green when I said, Tony, as a kid at Lossock St Gerrards, we need to look at. We signed him in pre-season. Fortunately, I went on to play with him for 3 or 4 years. I then went on to be assistant manager and then went on to manage him. And, you know, arguably, you won't find a better player at this level of football for the last 10, 12 years. What's happened since he's come here? He was on the back of his hernia injury, still not had it repaired. He's played with that all season. He's lost his little bit of sharpness, but, you know, that doesn't diminish him as a player. And what Ali wants to do is spend more time with his family now. Got a little kid, another one on the way, and, you know, Jess, his wife, you know, they want to spend a bit of time. And let's not forget, until this season, he's probably kicked every ball in every game over the last how many, 10, 12 years. So, incredible servant to non-league football. And it'll be someone that I'll miss being around and also miss coaching him.
I described him as your G-Sun Park, because you weren't afraid to play him in weird positions because you could give him an instruction and he'd take it on board. And he's adapted well this year, hasn't he?
I remember before the Buxton game away, I asked him to play right back. He just looked at me like I had two heads. He went on to have probably the best game, you know, until he got injured. And it shows, you know, great player, great lad. But, you know, he's been retiring now for the last 3 months. He will get substituted today, and I hope everyone that's in the stadium just shows their appreciation for what he's done in his short time at FC United, but more so to do what he's done over non-league football.
Well, Neil, enjoy the final league game of the season. Enjoy the awards due tonight.
No problem.
And thanks for joining us.
No problem.
In fact, we'll catch up at full time. What am I talking
catch
about?
Catch up at full time and enjoy your chips in the meantime.
Thank you very much, mate. Oh, just before you go, this isn't going out live, so you're not influencing any voting. Goal of the season? Me and you agreed on the Donoghue goal. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what's your take on what the best
so
goal
two
is?
Ways. You know, Donoghue's goal, what happened in the build-up and the finish was excellent. And I think as a manager, you want to see that type of goal. I think as a fan, when Linney danced his way through at Lancaster, Ricky Villa-esque, I think you get off your seat and go, that's my goal of the season. So if I was a fan, I'd be saying Linney. As a manager and working on what we do, I'd be saying Donoghue.
There we go. Thank you, Neil. See that? I told you. It's a proper footballer's goal, that. Anyway, shall we go on air? We're 10 minutes late. So let me just get on air. That would be good, wouldn't it? And then seamlessly. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to SC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And apologies, we're coming on air slightly late because we've done a lot of off-air pre-recording for the podcast this week. We've been discussing our play of the season, which will be revealed at the awards due tonight, as well as our thought processes behind our goal of the season selection. Hyde United today, Paul. What's your thoughts?
I think it's important to finish the season on a good note. Now, I know we've still got Brera and Rimini to come, but generally people recognise this as the last game, and I think we want to finish in eighth. We want to make sure we get that eighth spot nailed down, and a win does that. Hyde have got nothing to play for this afternoon apart from pride. They're safe. The secured safety last week with a draw with Stalybridge. So there's not a lot of incentive for them this afternoon, apart from maybe trying to get a place in the squad for next season. I think there's some of our players that know they'll be here next season. There's some question marks over some more, and they need to go out and show the manager today that they're serious about playing for this club.
Well, it's played forward, and Ennis says that falls for Griffiths. Ennis trying to win the ball back, and Ennis does well. Plays it back to Dodd, who tries a little up and under. Linney breasts it down very neatly there. Nice one from Askew. Linney! Cross! Well, that's... And, what a chance from Wanaker! But he puts it over the bar. Lovely work there from Askew with the back heel. Nice cross there. Short cross from Linney. And, Wanaker, how nice it would have been for him to score on his last game. Now Griffiths. Out to the right side for Donoghue to pursue. Now, Donoghue. 35 yards out, right hand side, keeps it in. Can he find the right pass? Plays it back to Potts now. Ennis back to goal, 30 yards out. Ennis there being driven back, and just wondering about his options here. It's Charlie Ennis, number 10 on his back, chips it forward. Nice ball, Linney. Oh, well, that was nice. Linney got it on the volley, but he just couldn't control it. But that was an example of a long pass that was right on the money from Ennis. It just was very difficult for Linney to control the volley there, but that was better from FC.
It needed Premier League technique to score that goal.
You know what it needed? It needed Donoghue's head. Do you remember that goal?
Well, yes.
Potts back to Curtis Jones, just outside his own area, up to Dodd. And now Jones, seeing so much of the ball. Long ball forward, Kieran Summers cuts that out. Now Uche has it. Uche threads it through, and oh dear, and it's a goal, and it's a terrible misunderstanding. Curtis Jones leaving it for Lavercombe, and it's Tom Pratt, the skipper, who just stole in and put into the empty net. Who's primary at fault there, Paul?
Well, what? I always think one of the problems all season has been communication with this team, and that's a prime example. Where two players don't communicate, you know, you can never make assumptions. I think the ball should have been cleared, regardless of the goalkeeper. Clear the ball, get it out of danger.
FC quickly taken by Donoghue, and now Morris with the long ball forward, and a nice take by Linney. Linney now into the box on the right hand side, drives towards the byline. Linney, left footed cross, it swerves. Oh my goodness me! And it nearly got caught by the wind. And almost floated into the just inside the upright there. I don't know how much Linney intended that, but it just shows you the wind could really influence the outcome of this contest. Ennis across with intent to take this corner from the right hand side.
Now I would say somebody go far post and stay far post.
Will anybody listen? Bange is occupying far post at the moment. Ennis's cross comes in, but it's cut out. Second bite of the cherry maybe for Ennis here. Plays it back to Donoghue. Donoghue's cross comes in. Headed away. Second ball could be won by Smith here. He nods it gently there to Galloway, who nods it on, but it's nodded back. That's a high try and break. And this will break now for Ed Brown. Brett tries to chip the keeper, and he does so. And it's 2-0 Hyde United. Well,
the coolest of finishes from Ed Brown.
It was. That's it. The referee does put us out of our misery half a minute early. And, well, there's not an awful lot to say about that. Hyde winning the day with two curious goals. Mix-ups at the back. And I think through just a better shape, really, I would say, Paul. Yes, it may take... may give Neil Reynolds some further confirmation of thoughts he's already had, or he may be neither here nor there.
Yeah, I don't think FC came to terms with a difficult wind and an opposition that set themselves up very well and made it difficult for us. And even with the changes from the bench, we never really looked like penetrating a resolute back line. And the goalkeeper did not have a save to make in 90 minutes. That is the blunt end of it.
Is it difficult to get in the mood? The season has drifted so poorly over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Is it just difficult to get motivated to start going in for the challenges in this game in order to defend eighth place?
I don't think it was the challenges as much. I think it was more the fact that we weren't creating. When we had the ball, we wasted the ball so much. I don't think it was so much off the ball. It was just very poor going forward. We just didn't look like breaking them down.
I mean, we do have to put it into context a little bit and say that Hyde United, they've got a new manager, well, a relatively new manager, and they're still riding that wave, aren't they, Paul, as well? And FC United, like James hints at, are kind of just meandering towards the finish line, really. They're just kind of towards the end.
I think the manager already had ideas about his squad for next season, and to be honest, I don't think this result or performance has changed his mind on what he's already thought.
Adrian Seddon joins us now. So, season tickets for next year. You said to me before this game, oh, you need to plug Brera, you need to plug season tickets.
And then the team go and do that.
Exactly. So
I remember whenever we used to do the sort of a freebie day for Moston and get loads of local residents in, sell the club, we used to always lose, and it was the worst game of the season. And we launched season tickets, and it's undoubtedly the worst home game of the season, wasn't it? I suppose all I can say is I think going into today's game, weren't we about the third best home record, which we probably aren't anymore, I haven't looked after today's defeat, but it's actually been a good season at home.
I'd play everyone the goal of the season compilation, because there's been some cracking goals
some brilliant goals. And you've got to look and say, you know, look at the playoffs, look who's, you know, Buxton have got promoted, we beat them. Scarborough, we put six past them here, and they're for me the team to beat in the playoffs. We've competed against South Shields. How we didn't win that game, I'll never know. It's been an entertaining season. We've fallen just a little bit short, but we are still in the hunt for a trophy.
Yep. So Brera a week on Wednesday,
7:45 Wednesday the 4th of May. It's European, it's a trophy to play for, it's a competitive trophy. We've never won a trophy under Neil Reynolds, so hopefully, you know, we've come close. We reached the final of the Premier Cup and it didn't happen, but this is our chance to win a trophy. We're playing an Italian side. If anybody watched the game in Milan, although we won 3-1, the final goal I think was in the last minute, wasn't it? It was a penalty in the last minute, so it was a really tough game. So I'm expecting a good game. The Italians aren't coming here to lose, I can tell you that much. Yes, they'd need to win by 9 goals to win the group, but they're coming for pride. If they can beat us, they'll finish level on points with us. So, you know, they've got a lot to play for. And then we head to Rimini. So for those of you who can come to Rimini with us, we'll play, unless we lose by 9 goals, we'll play in the final on the 11th of June, Saturday 11th of June in Rimini. We're hoping for maybe 400 or 500 FC fans to come along. I'm told by the Germans, Falke, that there's probably about 400 of their fans coming. The Poles think maybe 60 or 70 of their fans. It's going to be great. It's going to be four games over the 2 days. On the Friday night, it's the third place playoff, and then the three other games on the Saturday.
And who's favourites to be playing to come into the final from the other group as things stand? Is it the Spanish team?
Well, that, you know, that's the thing. This, our group looks decided. The other group, very much not. They've mostly got two or three games left to play each, and there's 3 points between top and bottom. So, for me, the Italian team from Rome, they're top of the group at the moment, look the favourites. But in a sort of very non-league sort of way of doing things, to save on costs, they're playing two away games in 2 days. So they're flying into Prague, playing the team from Prague, getting the train to Hamburg and playing 24 hours later against Hamburg, which, wow. You know, that's very non-league, isn't it? It's not, you know, when you hear Chelsea moaning about the fact that, was it, they're only allowed 50 grand to go away from home, you know, to cut costs, they're playing two games in 2 days. So that might haunt them. So who knows?
Just to, while we're waiting for Neil, just a quick general catch-up, really, Adrian, because we have to remember, with everything that's been going on, we've got a season completed after a couple of years of not being able to do that. So, I mean, generally, happy with getting to the end of a season at last?
Relieved. I mean, it's been 3 years of worry and everything. And I know, listen, COVID hasn't gone away, has it? But when you look at this season, we start this season with so many fears that it would be cancelled once again, that we'd have mass postponements. And actually, we've not lost a game to COVID. And we've got through the season well. So, yeah, if you'd asked me at the start of the season, could we be in this position today, I'd have taken that.
Well, plenty to build on for next year as well, we should say, because, you know, now we've got this season out of the way, it's, like you say, COVID's not disappeared, but hopefully we can get back to some form of normality, have a decent pre-season, go to Rimini before that, get a trophy and build on next year with loads of season ticket sales.
Hopefully. And I've just been speaking to the Hyde directors today, and they sort of said to me, God, you lot, you get around, don't you, because we've got jersey as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, don't forget that.
What's happening with the jersey thing? That's July, is it?
So that's the 16th and 17th of July. It was just put forward 12 months from that. Obviously, we were going to go there last year. But we play Cray Wanderers on the Saturday. Hashtag play against Jersey Bulls also on the Saturday. And the two winners play each other on the Sunday and the two losers play each other. So that's something to look forward to, yeah. I remember when Neil came and he sort of said, oh, you know, your club, you've been to Detroit, you've been to South Korea, you've been to Germany, you've been all over the place. And we went to Brighton, didn't we? we can't say that anymore. We really have been around this season and we will again next season.
Well, Adrian, big thank you for coming in and you know, doing my job for me and filling air while we wait for Neil. And yeah,
not sure if he's coming back out. Is it? There must be a bit of an inquest going on there.
We'll wait and see. We'll carry on filling for time for another couple of minutes. And yeah, Adrian, thank you for joining us.
No problem at all. And buy your season tickets, please.
Well, Neil, thank you very much for joining us. Quite a long little debrief there in the dressing room. What can you tell us?
I don't think I've ever shied away from the truth. There's a reason we finished 8th this season, is it? 9th?
9th.
The reason why we draw with South Shields, beat Buxton, put good performances on against Matlock isn't always about ability. That's to do with mentality. And I don't know where it's stemming from. It's only one or two. But mentally, we've gone to places, i.e. Grantham. Grantham at home, Grantham away. We've gone to Nantwich. We've played at Hyde. We've played here against Hyde. You can keep going. The results against the bottom sides this season have been nowhere near good enough. Now, that isn't ability, because otherwise you don't beat Buxton. It's a mental shift. The warm-up was poor. The decision-making was poor. The first goal is nothing short of a disgrace. The second goal isn't much better, even though we all set up right on the corner. But lack of leadership, lack of pride. But for me, fortunately, the season's over now. You know that I've stood there all second half. I've watched it. They are a fantastic group of lads in that dressing room. Fantastic. 1-18, a wonderful bunch, and I've really enjoyed working with them all season. You know, there's not one bad egg. There's not one person that I would ever criticise openly. But there's something significantly missing, and that's the winning leadership mentality that we are going to get right and bring in 5 or 6 lads now who can compete and play well at this level, but also now know what it takes to get you over the line against the bottom sides when we have to do that.
It's the most urgent task for you to find like a leader in the centre of the park or the centre of defence.
Yeah, 100%, James. We need a centre-half who talks. We need a centre midfield who talks. We need a goalkeeper that talks. You know, Lamacan's been brilliant today. He's got to talk. We should be able to hear Dan from here. We can't. And sometimes that doesn't come naturally. Blame mobile phones and things. Blame where we are. People can text each other, but they don't. And we're a very quiet side. And I built that, so I can't criticise them. Got to criticise myself. And it's now time to keep the nucleus, but carve certain elements up and go and bring 6-7 new bodies into this football club who will give everything. And that impetus is needed now, because I'm not finishing ninth next season. I've got no chance of my finishing ninth next season.
What you mean, as in that won't do, or you think?
No, nowhere near. Fans wanted a top 10 finish this season. They've got a top 10 finish. I've never in the last 5 years, apart from the relegation season, contemplated ninth in my league. You know, it's not. And I'm not using money. I'm just not putting it down to money. I'm putting it down to that you can't say money helps, and money helps get your players over the line. But that same budget beat Buxton. That same budget drew with South Shields. That same budget smashed South Shields last week. That same budget, though, has lost the bottom sides. So there's something wrong. And it's definitely not how I prepare, how Chaddy or how Tom prepares. We lads have got to look at themselves. And it's going off down the dressing room downstairs. This is why I've been so long. They're going for each other because they know that we should be in the playoffs this season, and we're not because of how we've prepared ourselves.
Obviously the awards coming up, and hopefully that'll brighten things up, and we'll talk about certain players. But are there players for you who've been like particular bright sparks, not necessarily the player of the season, but players who you think have been very refreshing?
I just said about Dan. You know, you're at this level for a reason. You know, he's only a voice. And probably better footwork away from being a League One goalkeeper. I think we've got the best keeper. Jones and Morris individually are absolutely brilliant. Together, whatever reason, you know, it's missing that leadership element, and they need that in between them. I think Donalds has been consistent, but you can see he's more of an attacking player. We need to bring in more of a defensive mindset, especially away from home. I think Don hasn't returned from his best from COVID, but he'll always give you everything. I thought he was my standout player today. But Smith's done well. Regan Linney's obviously the bright spot, but they're all great. They've all had great games. Josh Galloway's lit it up at times, but I just wish, as sad as it sounds, I just wish that I could have got all the Wanaka 3 years ago, because people see glimpses of it, and you have seen glimpses, but he could win football games single-handedly, and I've seen him do it time and time again. And you know, I've took a gamble on him at 32, and he's probably not paid off, you know, even with his injuries and stuff, but I've really enjoyed working with Ali this year.
My memory will always be in the game in Milan when it was all a bit flat, and suddenly it was almost like he said, "I'm going to live," and he did that brilliant dribble and score. It was like, I'm going to sort this out.
He used to do it every single game. You know, I've seen Wanaka score 25, 30 goals a season for 8-9 years on the trot. He was something special. So, you know, as a group, like I said, they're brilliant. There's great individuals in there, but the cohesion, it's not... I don't want people to get confused about this, James. It's not what we inherited 3 years ago. There's no toxic atmosphere in the dressing room. It just now needs the next level, you know, because I think people think it's all right to finish second. First round at FA Cup's all right. Phoenix is all right. But ninth in the league's not all right. And that's where I'm coming at it from. And that's not the only individual criticism against myself. That's the only individual criticism. And I'll take that. I'll speak to people. My work will start tomorrow morning.
Right, well, Neil, thank you so much for coming and joining us, and thanks for all your great insights and the time you've given us throughout the domestic season. But of course, the season is far from over. We'll see you at the awards tonight, on Wednesday. We'll see you for Brera.
Yeah, just a big thank you to you guys, James and Ben and Sato Paul, you know, for all the support you give me over the season, the lads, and, you know, Swampy. At times, interview questions are hard, especially when you get beat, but it's not... You know, I've never shied away from that, but I just want to say thank you for all your time and effort this season, and hopefully we do a lot more happier interviews next season.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there speaking on Saturday. As revealed earlier, goalkeeper Dan Lavercombe was the winner of this year's FCUM Radio Player of the Season. But elsewhere, it was an almost clean sweep for forward Regan Linney, who won the awards from the FC Youth and the manager, as well as the coveted Russell Delaney Supporters Player of the Year. While goal of the season went to Adam Dodd for his excellent strike against Radcliffe from August.
And ball picked up there by Cook. Now Matty Rain, space, can he get the ball across? Into the box he goes, trying to use his speed, across now, but well cut out. Ball comes back in again. Edge of the box will be Dodd. Dodd encouraged to shoot. Oh, what a goal! What a strike by Adam Dodd. The whole ground encouraged him to shoot. It sat up so nicely, but he hit it so true. To the keeper's left, perfectly placed. Power, accuracy, everything you'd want. FC United, 3-0.
Yeah, fantastic, shall I say. Everybody in here just seemed to sit up. He almost had too long to get that right, but struck it perfectly into that far corner. Keeper with absolutely no chance.
Well, that's nearly it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. But just before we go, just a reminder that the women's team will be hosting Leeds United on Wednesday evening at Broadhurst Park in a crucial match in the league. Kick-off in Manchester this Wednesday will be at 7:45pm. Admission will be pay on the gate. £3 for adults, £2 concessions, £1 for men's team season ticket holders, £1 for under-18s, and under-5s go free with a paying adult. But remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air from 7:40pm on www.fc-radio.co.uk. Well, that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.